chapter 22, and I'm going to read verses 31 through 33. It says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect." We all know that God is perfect, but do we ever stop and think about what that really means? God is a perfect God in all his ways, and there is no perfection that can be seen in him. His actions are perfect, his words are perfect, and his power is perfect. First, his works are perfect. For this, I'll use the creation account as an example. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God's plan for creation was and is a good plan. The goal for which it was made was for good, and the motive behind it was all for good. It's good in a functional sense because the plan works, and he fitted everything together perfectly the way he designed it to be. Just by looking at each individual cell in the human body, you can see how marvelous his works are. Sometimes I find that when I do things, it looks great in the moment, but when I take a step back and look at the big picture, I find out that it isn't so great. But with God, it isn't like that. God saw his work, and it was all very good. Second, his words are perfect. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 9. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." God's word, his law, his testimony, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, they're all flawless. They're accurate, they're precise, and they're free from defect or error. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." So if God is perfect, and then his word is perfect. And if the word is God, and God is perfect, God's word is perfect, and vice versa. Third, God's power is perfect. Waiting is one of the most difficult things for me to do. I become impatient and wonder why all of a sudden everybody is holding me up and keeping me from getting what I want. But sometimes it seems like the more we want something, the harder it is to wait for it. And we even get impatient with God sometimes. Whether it be in prayer or wondering how this or that bill will be able to get paid, we have to remember that God's timing is way different than our own timing. He sees things from a totally different perspective, and he sees the whole picture, not just what we want. God sees what is truly best for us throughout the whole course of our lives. As we get bogged down by the worries and trials of our lives, we need to remember that God does everything perfectly in his timing, and he has a time in mind for everything. If we pray and read our Bible, God will direct us in the way he wants to go, wants our lives to go in his perfect power. In conclusion, his works are perfect, his words are perfect, and his power is perfect. Everything that God does is perfect, and everything he does is for the purpose of his own glory. The songwriter says, "I know God makes no mistakes. He leads me in every path I take, along the way that's leading me home. Though at times my heart would break, there is a purpose in every change he makes, that others would see my life and know that God makes no mistakes." Some people, in order for us to experience this perfect God, we must first accept him as our Savior. Some people think that a relationship with God is something that only theologians can comprehend. But actually, God's plan of salvation is simple enough for everyone to understand. It's as easy as ABC. Admit to God that you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus Christ, and then confess your faith. Admit to God that you're a sinner, because all people need salvation. Each of us have a problem, and that problem is sin. Sin is essentially a refusal to acknowledge the authority of God over our lives. Everyone that doesn't live a perfect obedience to God is guilty of sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Since none of us are perfect, then all of us are sinners. The result of sin is spiritual and physical death. Because we sin and are therefore subject to punishment for sin, which is eternal separation from God. Admitting that you are a sinner and separated from God is the first step of repentance. And repentance is turning away from sin and self and never wanting to go back to it and turning back to God. Second, we need to believe in Jesus Christ. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and receive his gift of salvation. God loves each of us, and he offers every one of us salvation. Even though we have done nothing to deserve this love, God wants to save us. In the death of Jesus on the cross, God provided salvation for all who would repent of their sins. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Third, you are to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Romans 10:9-10 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful night you've given us to come out here and learn more about you and worship you. And I pray that if there would be anybody in this room that needs your gift of salvation, that they would not leave this building until they get saved, Lord. And I pray that you would just bless the rest of the service tonight and keep us safe as we depart. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm not on, am I? There we go. You all hear me now?
Hello? No? You hear me?
All right. Here we go. So tonight we're going to have a little bit of an object lesson. And for those of you that know me, I'm a little bit of a nerd. So this is going to be kind of nerdy, but I think it'll still get the point across. But tonight's object lesson is on the Rubik's Cube. Yes, I know I'm a nerd. All right. So the Rubik's Cube can teach us a lot of lessons, and we're going to apply this to the Christian life. Now, if you would open your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1, and go to verse 26. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then if we jump down to verse 31. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." There we have it. He created man, and it was good. So, it started out like this. Man started all fixed up, perfect, nothing wrong with him. But then, if we turn over to chapter 3, and verse 6. And that says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, if you recall the story, in it, this is my face, if you recall it, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of that specific tree, but they did. And that was thus recorded as the first sin. Now, said the cube starts out good, perfect, if you will, perfect. But then you sin, and, well, you get gets all messed up. And then, yeah, it's no longer perfect. I don't know what that is. But it gets all messed up, and it's stuck like that. I mean, it's not going to solve itself. And we're in the same predicament. We're all born into sin. We're stuck that way. And there's no way to fix it unless we let someone fix it for us. And there's only one person that can fix the problem of sin. That's God himself. We can't do it on our own. So, now the question becomes, how does God fix this problem? Well, first we need to know why he wants to solve the problem. God is on a mission to redeem and restore fallen people to the likeness of his Son, to the glory of God. That's why he wants to make you whole again. That's why, if you will, he wants to solve the cube. He wants to fix the problem so that way you can be perfect. You were created to be perfect. And as of right now, you're not perfect. And that's what God wants to do to you, is to make you perfect. Now, the reason that he wants to do that is because he loves you. John 3:16, we all know it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves you enough to give of himself to make you whole. And that's why he wants to fix us. Now that we know why, we need to see, how does he do it? Well, God allows us to struggle. This is so that way we know we can't fix it by ourselves. Well, the reason being, because we don't know how to solve it. Now, how many of you could come up here and solve this for me without knowing how to do it? Well, how many could solve it at all, really? Yeah, that's what I thought. Nobody. The problem with sin is the exact same way. We can't fix it ourselves. We need someone that knows how to fix it to fix it. So just like this, someone that knows how to do it can solve it. Well, we don't know how to fix it. We gotta let someone else do it. And as I said before, that person is God. So, when you're solving a cube, it slowly becomes solved. You do it layer by layer. You do the first layer, right after you get the white side, you get the first layer. And then you get the second layer. But as you're trying to get that layer, you have to mess up the white side to get that next layer. And again, that's where the struggles come in. As God solves your life or removes the sin and makes you more perfect, you have to go through struggles. And they do appear like they're messing your life up. But let me tell you, when it's over, you'll realize it was actually for the better. Now, it's hard to understand that, but it's 100% completely true. And you won't really understand it until you go through a struggle where you need God to help you. So, as God's fixing the problem, we need to understand the only way to get fixed is to give it to God. If we hold on to this cube, I can hold on to this all day and spin it around, do whatever I want to it. It probably won't get solved unless I do it the right way. And there's no way we can do that, so we have to give it to God. Whatever those problems are, whatever those struggles are, hand them over to God. He's the only one that will be able to fix it. Again, and he wants to do it because he loves you. It said in John 3:16, he loves you. But he won't help you unless you let him help you. He wants to help you, but you have to invite him to help you. And the only way to really invite him is to directly talk to him through prayer. Let God know what's going on. Ask him to help you, and you'll see he will. And it's really an amazing thing when you do. When you see God working, it's really amazing. I mean, how many of you have seen one of these solved? I mean, it's pretty amazing when someone actually solves it. And you got those, like, speed cubes and stuff? Well, I'm telling you, people can solve these things in under 30 seconds. So I'm like, what? It's like no humanly way possible to be able to do that, but they do it. I'm telling you, if you pray to God, that's virtually what will happen to your problems. They'll kind of shrink away. And it'll be like, wow, how did that happen? That was really cool. That's the way God works. He's really cool. You got to get to know him. All right. And as you get to know God, another thing that'll happen is you'll get to learn what God's will is. As you read your Bible, you will get closer to God. As you get closer to God, what happens is you start thinking like God. If you start thinking like God, eventually your thoughts will align and you'll know what God wants for you. Yet it'll take a while, but it's definitely worth it. It's worth going into God's will and doing your best. Now, so God's trying to get closer to you. How close are you to him? Are you his friend? Are you his acquaintance? Or do you not even know the man? I'll tell you, he's worth getting to know if you don't know him at all. Now, if he's your friend, what do you do with friends? Well, you hang out with them. You have fun with them. If that's what God is to you, that's great. If you're reading your Bible, you're getting to know God, that's amazing. Keep it up. And if you're just his acquaintance, you should try and get to know him. Go read your Bible. Do whatever you can to get to know him. And if you don't know him, well, there's plenty of people here that are willing to tell you about him. All you have to do is ask. Parker, he told us a little bit about why and how we can get saved. And that's one of the best things you can do. We heard earlier how it was the best day in London's life. And it truly is. There's no feeling like it. And you'll be happy when you do. So, I'll leave you with that final thought. Are you God's friend, his acquaintance, or do you even know him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you that I was able to come here and present these people with a challenge. I just pray that they will take it to heart and grow from it. And just pray that you will bless the time to follow and the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you solve this? How long will it take you? Or would it take you?
Minute and a half.
Honestly, have any of you ever been able to solve a Rubik's Cube? Anybody? Kim, shocker. Okay, they keep it in the family. Anybody else? Anybody? Yeah, me either. How many of you got one of these for like a stocking stuff or Christmas present, something at some point in your life? Anybody? How many of you have ever gotten a Rubik's Cube? And what'd you do? You probably messed it up, and then you went. That was it. I'm done. I like object lessons, Alan. That was really good. How many of you tried to solve your Rubik's Cube by taking the stickers off and putting them back on the right sides? I did. And hey, isn't that kind of how we try to solve our problems? We try to rearrange, we try to patch this, and we try to patch this, we try to make it all look pretty, and we try to fake it. But like Alan said, only God can solve our problems. Only he's the one that has the answers and can actually put it back together and fix it. And Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Only Jesus Christ can solve your problems, your eternal problem, and your problems here as you live your Christian life, just like Alan said. That was good. I like object lessons. They're always a lot of fun. Here. No, not really. You did flinch, though. Anyway, we have a linger longer. It is...